I can face everybody then. Angle. Thank you. Let us just pray. Father, we thank you for that reading. We thank you for the testimony of Peter and John. And Lord, today we pray that we too will have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we too are bold in speaking out the gospel. Father, thank you for the Lord Holy Spirit. Be with us this morning as we consider your word. Father, help us, for we do not know how to pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting reading, isn't it? A bit blunt and very honest and speaking the point. And what I want to do this morning also is go back to our series. What we have been following through over the several weeks is prayer and praying in the Spirit. I want to bring that to some sort of a conclusion because this is the penultimate session, and then Jean is going to preach on praying through the Word. So let us come together around what we've been learning over the last several weeks in the morning and in the afternoon, in the evening, and bring it together a little bit more and take it forward in our own lives. And then Jean will look at, as I said, how do we pray in the Word. So Spirit-filled praying. It's Pentecost. It's about the Holy Spirit. And if we look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, what did he say, John the Baptist? I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? We get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he separates those, the wheat from the chaff. One is going into the fire, the other into heaven with him, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Moving forward then, John 14, 15 and 16, what did the Lord say to the disciples? I go to prepare a place for you. But then he goes on and says, I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will be with you always. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will be with you at all times. He'll comfort you. He'll speak to you. He'll speak my word to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we start from here. And then Paul goes on in Romans and says, but you do not know how to pray. You need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can pray efficiently and effectively and in God's will as we move forward. But there's an issue that I want to deal with straight away this morning. Because we all say, and we all believe in the tripod God, but we always treat the Holy Spirit as a third person of the tripod God. And they are equal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all in one and one in all. And yet when we talk about the Holy Spirit, and I was reminded after this morning's sermon, somebody said to me, you're actually embarrassed about talking about the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to repent of how we treat the Lord Holy Spirit. There is opportunity. This morning, we need to take that opportunity and say, I'm sorry, Lord, for you have said that I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you. He will comfort you. He will counsel you. And yet, the way I treat him sometimes is not good. We need to recognize that. So as we move forward, and as we look at prayer, and we go into prayer, we do recognize the sovereignty of God. Yes, of course we do. But there is this lack of intimacy. We need to be intimate with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We need that intimacy. We need that intimacy to be brought to us. And how do we get that intimacy? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what does he say? He helps you to say, Abba, Father, my dad. My Father. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to enter into that relationship with the sovereign God. In his sovereignty, we come together with him, with Abba, Father, relationship with God. And then what is prayer? Prayer is a forum between the four persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you who have been sealed in the power of the Holy Spirit. The four of you come together, and it is a place where you pour out your heart to God. He says, come, come to me. Come to me. But it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that the sovereign God has given us the opportunity to become intimate with him, that he is our Father, where we can actually pour our heart out to him. We speak to him from our heart and share it with him. But you know what the difficulty I have is, people like me, and I do, is I am very clever at crafting prayer so that I can get the answers I want. We spend a lot of time crafting prayer, bringing together fine words, what do I need to say, I need to, the results and all of that. We craft prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is not crafted. Prayer is pouring out your heart to God in this intimate relationship. And then we talk about, and we've talked about in these sermons here, about the miracles that happen. And we've talked about Heidi Baker, Jackie Pullinger, when these ladies pray, people get healed in Mozambique. And we've heard all of that. And then, you know, when I started studying and when I started looking at what these ladies were doing, what they had was this tremendous, tremendous love for those people. It was their love that brought those miracles on. How many of you can turn around and say, and I said, shared this morning, I have such a tremendous love for the people of Wolderslade. It's not just in Mozambique it happens. It's nothing to do with third world countries and miracles happening there. It is all about people who give up everything and have this tremendous love for those who are not saved, your friend, your neighbor, your family member, your town, next door people. We need to get that love. And when we start praying in that love, you will see those miracles. You will see people healed. You will see people set free of evil spirits, people delivered from depression, people delivered from all of those kind of things when it comes from within with love, that love Christ had for us, that same love that took him to the cross for me. He died for me. He loves me. My God loves me. He wants me to be intimate with him. And he says, can you share my love that I have for you and those people? Can you get intimate with me? So when we look at lives of Heidi Baker and lives of Jackie Pullinger and people like that, and they pray for people. You know, when Jackie Pullinger prays for people, she asks these sinners who don't even know the gospel to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they do. And we've known this. And we know it happens. God is calling us to prayer, intimacy, into his love, and being joined with him in prayer. What stops us from getting into that forum with God? It's sin. There is deliberate sin in our lives and there is sin by default. We've got to confess. We've got to come to a point and say, Lord, you do not want me to sin. I know God's will, that he doesn't want me to lie to you. I know God's will, that he doesn't want me to cheat you. I know God's will, that he doesn't want me to steal from you. We know God's will. I can fix that. I can come to Christ. I can ask the Lord Holy Spirit to help me. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, I can actually tackle certain sins. But remember this, and this is where we unburden and put it on Christ and put it on the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, from that grave where he took your sins, is at work in you. He has overcome sin. He will help you overcome sin. And he's the same Spirit. He's getting you ready to present you on the last day, sanctified before God. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives now so that he can be working in us. That power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead needs to be at work within my life and change it so that I can be presented whole and complete on that last day. When the trumpet call comes for me before Christ, I need the Holy Spirit now. And you know, this is such a great love of God that he says, I know you are a sinner. I know you are sinning deliberately and by default. You can sort out some of it, but there are other things that I will work with you. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us. In our sins, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he filled us with his Holy Spirit so that he can start working in our lives and move us on to being presented to him on that last day. Moving on a little bit further in prayer. Will of God. Now, Martin has preached here a few weeks ago when he had this very large blanket and he turned around and said, you know, God is a mystery. That little bit, that one corner he was trying to stuff in his pocket, is we know very little bit about God. But the rest of God is mystery. We only know a small amount of God's will. The rest is mystery. We can never, ever know God's full will. Yes, I know we want God to do various things, but I don't know why there are certain people who've got cancer. I don't know why some with cancer get healed and others don't. I don't know what it is, his will, that some people are disabled. And then some people that who are disabled can get healed when we pray for them. But you know what? Whatever we say, whatever we do, we need to come to that point. Let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done. I don't know. That guy got healed. He leapt up and started dancing and all of that. But I think there were other lepers in Jerusalem or paralyzed people who didn't. But I don't know what God's will is. We understand little. But who am I to challenge God about his will? Because in prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I need to say, Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Moving on a little bit, and that big no. Sometimes it's very difficult to take that no from God, isn't it? But then look at the two incidents in the scriptures. Let's take the easier one first, and that is Paul. Paul had that thorn in the flesh, and three times he went to the Lord. And again, you know, when I look at scripture and research, I don't know whether it was in successive days, several months passed, then he asked the first time, the second time, or a couple of years later, he said, Lord, I asked you for the thorn to be removed, and it hasn't. He was persistent to a point. And what did the Lord say to him? Paul, no. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, and in you my power will be revealed. It is my power that is at work in you. Then the second example, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Christ was praying, filled with the Holy Spirit, sweating blood, he's praying. He said, Lord, I can't bear this. I just can't take it. Can you take this cup away? Success in very fast successions, three times. Take this cup away. And the Father said, no. And within that time, Christ said, your will. Let your will be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know we always say, and we've had sermons preached, let's be like the widow who goes to the judge and continues praying, praying, praying. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to give us discernment. Christ had discernment then, and after the third time, he said, okay, let your will be done. We need discernment. You know, we need to be discerning people in prayer. Yes, of course, there's an example. Persistent prayer is important to a point. The archdeacon, when he was preaching here several days ago, he turned around and said, you could be praying for something for such a long time and your prayers don't get answered. Maybe you should ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Maybe you should think in those lines, on those lines. Here we have two examples where no, your will. And what did both of these people do? Christ and Paul, Lord, your will. Sometimes we need to come to that point. No is an answer. And you know, if Christ had persisted and got an answer to his prayer, we will not be sitting here today. We wouldn't have salvation. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we need discernment to be able to say and accept God's reply to our prayer. Then moving on very quickly to the heart. What does Calvin say? The heart is the biggest idol factory that we've got. Our prayers sometimes are based on our idols. And what does Jude say? Little children, keep away from idols. We manufacture them in our own hearts. That dream house, that dream job, that dream husband, that dream wife, dream family. We dream and we pray, and that is what we want. And we don't get it because it's become an idol in our lives or not. I don't know. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be able to make and understand what is my heart doing. It's the most wicked thing, my heart. He can craft, I can think, and I can make things happen in my heart. And he says, examine my heart, Lord. Examine my heart. I manufacture idols. And I can make it sound so really nice. And I can get 10 Christians to start praying with me. Oh, it's my heart's desire and all of that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us and move us forward in that way. Now going to Romans 8 and that interesting part where we groan, our groans, those broken relationships. We've lost loved ones. We can't speak about that. It's such a painful thing in our heart. Relationships broken, broken dreams. And what does the Holy Spirit does? He says, I will come into you. There are no words you can express. You can't put that into prayer. But I'll come in your life and I'll take your groan and I'll turn into prayer with you and I will offer it with you to the Father and we can pray for you and we can deliver you. And I know a lot of people hurt in this congregation. I know you have some groans. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in. You know, look at that broken relationship. The loved one that's no longer there. That dream that got shattered. Oh, I feel it. I know my groans. Let the Holy Spirit come. Let him come into your life. Let him transform you and change you. Take those things and cry out. You know, it's a forum where you can enter and pour out your heart to the Lord. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to give you joy, love, peace in your life. And you know, I was talking to Brian at coffee time, and I wanted to say this as well. Listen, Christ is interceding for you right now. And Paul also says, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you now. They are praying for you. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Will you say no to the Holy Spirit? Would you want to invite him into your life and let you be transformed because you want your prayer lives to be changed? You want your groans to be taken care of? You don't understand God's will. And there comes a point in my life when I say, Lord, your will, I don't understand. I don't know. And I'll never understand why certain people get healed and certain people don't. And I will never. But can we come to that point? We need to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can be baptized, immersed in him, and be changed. Have we got a heart for the lost? Have you got that love? Do you want to see those miracles happening here in your fellowship with you? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray. Sharon's going to pray for you. And I want to be prayed myself that I get filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be topped up, refilled, touched again, you know, because I don't know how to pray. Scripture says you don't know how to pray. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. So let us come to that point and let us go into prayer. Thank you very much.